Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Shouting, it's Daner and Jay.
Ladies and gentlemen, hear that podcast growling, presented by Visa, network working for everyone. Paul Daner Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic here working for you. I mean, this is technically an emergency podcast, Jay, but it's not an emergency like you. Oh, there was a car accident. We must react to this emergency. This is everyone saying it is. We don't like how quiet this is. This is too calm. Someone talk to me. Put me on the couch here and talk to me about why this is not an emergency, that the Bengals have sat and really haven't done much of anything since the opening hours of free agency. And now they had to sit back and watch everybody else make moves and wonder, what is going on? Do something. Is it all over now? We're here to talk through that. That's the emergency tonight, is talking through this, Jay.
It's not an emergency podcast. It's an Armageddon podcast. The world is ending. What are they doing? Twitter right now feels like the kids in the back of a car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You may have gone through that on your trip to Florida a couple weeks ago. Everybody is so impatient. That's what this team does. Yet they got a couple guys early. They addressed their biggest need early. And I tweeted this out. Remember last year, it was Friday, day three of the new league year, before they officially announced their signings. Even though nothing's been announced, it doesn't mean they're not working on things. And we talked about this on the podcast earlier this week. Lyle Collins is still a big deal. And I think a lot of teams are kind of waiting for that shoe to drop. When the Cowboys cut him, then I think you're going to start seeing really the ripple effect of people going after other offensive linemen, other things. It was crazy today that a lot of these contracts that went flying off, it almost felt like day one. It almost felt like the Monday of legal tampering when you look at some of these contracts that went off the board. And the Bengals probably weren't going to be in on the Von Millers and Z'Darrius Smiths and Chandler Jones and those type of players.
No, I mean, and you know, and we can talk through a little bit of kind of what's been going on and what's affecting things. I think, Jay, it's a good place to start. Is what we do know is the Bengals are there. They have not made official yet. Alice Kappa, Ted Karras, as again, like you said last year, they got to bring these guys in. They got to sign, do the physical, that stuff, and then it's completed and they're officially on the books. That stuff doesn't always happen right at four. If you notice, I think a lot of people were just looking and wondering when the Bengals news is, but when you look around the league, you notice. I mean, not most of these guys that are still agreed to terms. There's some that have made it in. I mean, the Russell Wilsons of the world, they wanted to have him there for the message at 4:03 p.m. for the news conference. But I mean, a lot of these are just still going to happen over the course of a couple of days. You get a few people that are in there and announce the signings early, but it's a matter of getting these guys to where they need to do, putting them all together at the same time, signing deals. So don't worry about that. I think that's something that some people have said. Is Tom Brady going to be tapping into Kappa's phone and like texting him like, bro, we're getting the band back together down here. Come on. There's no concern about that with Karis and Kappa still on the books, and that will be signed before too long. The question is what's going to happen next. You have to sit here and watch as, tight end is still sitting here wide open, and guys are ticking off the board there. And obviously what's going to happen at the other offensive line spots. You've got cuts that have been made that have been intriguing. Targets, we'll talk through a few of those. The interesting thing, though, I think that to me, Jay, has been the theme of these last 2 days, and tough for Bengals fans to see, and really tough, I think, for everybody in the AFC to see, is the AFC is setting itself up to be an absolute bloodbath next year. I mean, it is just a load up happening all across this conference. I couldn't help it because I've hung out with you long enough. You're rubbing off on me. I had to go look exactly on SpotTrack. The top 30 average annual value contracts signed thus far, which is 7.5 or more. The top 30, 22 of them by AFC teams. And a boatload of those crossovers, NFC over to AFC. I mean, we're seeing that. And that is not even getting into trades for Russell Wilson. Is Deshaun Watson going to end up with the Browns? Doesn't count Amari Cooper to the Browns. Things that we've seen, that's just free agent contracts. And then you see the quarterback load up that's happened in this conference. They wait for the Bengals to get good and everyone's like, no, we cannot let that happen again. This conference needs to stack up. And it really, the theme of the last 2 days is AFC gauntlet is set up, and it's going to be incredible whoever comes out of it alive.
So when did you look at that? Does that include Von Miller?
Yes.
That includes all the recent ones?
I did it before we started here. We're recording this now here on Tuesday evening. So, I mean, you can add more or whatever. But, I mean, it's part of what's happening right now is the AFC is brutal. And particularly now we've been making jokes and everyone talking about the AFC West. And that's part of it. I mean, look, Chandler Jones goes to the Raiders to be opposite Max Crosby. You have Von Miller in Buffalo. Denver steals Randy Gregory to go away from Dallas to be a defensive end playing with Russell Wilson's Denver Broncos. J.C. Jackson, lines up to go and play with Derwin James and Joey Bosa and these guys.
And Khalil Mack.
And Khalil Mack in L.A. for the Chargers. I mean, again, Khalil Mack, a name that I didn't mention earlier as part of that list, that is traded for. Load up after load up. Jacksonville has signed every single player that's available on the market and paid them all at least $10 million per year. Who knows what's happening there? But, you have all of that. And then look within the AFC North has become, I think, kind of a smaller version of the AFC West. I mean, if the Browns get what's going to happen with them at quarterback is going to be fascinating. It's not going to be Baker Mayfield. I mean, Chris Morton's on TV saying that the Browns said that they would like to have an adult at quarterback. That's the first time in a while that I've said, God damn, son, reported on television. Like, wow. So who knows what's going to happen with that? But if they land Watson, because the Steelers have done unprecedented spending, the Ravens have done what they do, which is spending very well. The Browns have loaded up elsewhere. The division has really taken a big step up this offseason too, over these last couple of days.
Yeah, just look. I mean, the Ravens with Za'Darius Smith and Marcus Williams. And Morgan Moses. But defensively, specifically, they get rid of Wink Martindale, and then they go and they spend big on free agency again, as they've done in the past. It's the Bengals put up all those points on them, and they're determined not to let that happen again. You mentioned all the money the Jaguars are spending. They cut Miles Jack to do that, and the Steelers scoop him up And now he had a heck of a game for the Jaguars against the Bengals in week four last year. He's still, it seems like he's been around forever, but he's still a young player. So he can be a difference maker in the AFC North. It is. It's going to be something else. And I see why Bengals fans are worried, because you see all this going on, but so much of these huge ones, those are not guys that the Bengals are going to be in on. Right now it's about filling those holes that you mentioned, cornerback, finding that right tackle, which could or could not be Collins.
Center. They could still go to another interior line if they wanted to go there.
And then tight end is the big one, because that is the glaring hole right now. And those guys, even I had the list of guys that could possibly be good fits. And you see Conklin going off the board, Max Williams, O.J. Howard. Those guys are starting to disappear too. So we'll see. I think tomorrow is going to be a movement day where it just feels like this is kind of the Bengals' MO, where they wait and look for value. And again, it's so much is dependent on what's going to happen with Collins in Dallas.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of reaching that portion of the program where the best signings are done. You know, the first wave, you get the load of overspends and things like that. And then the people that come in later, this is where you find really the best work of free agency happens. And traditionally, it's where the Bengals have started. You know, the fact that they already have two in the bag at this point, although I would put Karras into that mold of sort of in that middle range. Mm-hmm. I think that is where they would probably find themselves more comfortable or most comfortable. Collins' situation is still hanging out there, and you mentioned it. Let's kind of talk about it briefly again. You know, it's kind of the same thing. The thought, I think, was that they would need to cut him to stay cap compliant, and they will. Once contracts start rolling in for Dallas, at some point they're going to need to do it to stay cap compliant. I think there was a thought that the Gregory contract probably would be that one that they would need to when, if they signed him, then they would cut Collins to clear cap space for that. But it didn't end up happening, as they lost him to Denver. He gets flipped over there. But at some point that's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. Or a trade will happen. You know, there's rumors floated out there that New England is interested. Who knows how much of that stuff is true, will pan out to be true. I still think the same thing that we've kind of said with Collins is that the Bengals are interested. I don't see them as being interested in giving up assets. But I do see them as interested to see him in a place where they feel like his market should be. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I think that's the philosophy that they're going to have on it. And no one will feel bad about how long the Bengals have waited between making moves if it ends with something like Karras, Kappa, Collins as now the right side of your line. So it's really, I think, a big domino to drop, and one that a lot of eyes are on right now before they move too much further. But it's hard. I mean, I think this is a very defining stretch here, Jay. I mean, you're at this point where you've done some nice things. You started off strong, but you need more. If you're really going for this, if you're really taking advantage of the rookie contract, if you're going to really have an effective free agency, this is the second step that needs to set you apart and show how aggressive you are, how serious you are about making things happen, and how much there's just going to be a layback and in the weeds mentality. And I think we're kind of coming up on that crossroads right now.
Yeah, we are. And it's still, you remember back to last year, and it was, I mean, they were a little over a barrel, and they are fortunate that they got it done. But it was not till that Thursday night dinner at the precinct, and really Riley Reiff was the last quality tackle out there in free agency. And if they didn't get him, who knows what would have happened? Maybe Bobby Hart doesn't get cut and he starts the whole year.
Or maybe they draft Sewell over Chase.
Or yeah, exactly. But that's just another reason to not panic yet. I'm sure they have a plan, and it's what is, as we record this 9 o'clock, we are officially 5 hours into the new league year. There's still quality players out there, and you guys all know what the Bengals are. They're not going to overpay. Right now it's crazy money going out the door. It's a critical stage, and it doesn't feel to me like this is them just squirreling that money away to carry, to roll over, to hit the Burrow deal and the other deals next year. That they are still interested in getting more pieces added to this team. They're just not, they're going to go about it their own way. And it almost feels like, you know, they go to the Super Bowl last year, they win the division, they go on this crazy run, and it's the way some of the fans on Twitter, it's almost as if that never happened, that it's kind of that same old Bengals mentality. And I get the frustration, but at some point I think this front office has earned a few more benefits of the doubt, and let's just wait and see how this week plays out before people start pushing the panic button.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be Twitter frustration, and no one's worried about the fan reaction. This isn't the Reds right now, you know, right? where it's like, what is happening to this team? I mean, they're in good shape. They're trying to pick their spot. Right. I mean, they're trying to figure out what the spot is where they can land and how to best take advantage of the few pieces that they still want to put in place through free agency. I mean, really, last year in free agency, they signed five real guys. I mean, they've got three in the bag right now. They probably would have three or four more. I would say two, three more. Right. I mean, that'd be significant pieces left to put into the bag in this thing. And so what are those? You're going to pick wisely. You're going to choose. You're going to pick your spots. There's still cuts coming. They're plotting that, you know, they've got the list of guys that they think are going to get let go that are part of their list too, that maybe they're waiting on being let go. I mean, Collins is amongst those. Obviously, J.C. Treader was just let go by Cleveland. That's an interesting one worth talking about because you could then move Karras over, and you feel like you've really solidified the middle. Treader, I mean, he's been reliable. He's obviously been a leader. He's the NFLPA rep. NFLPA president, I should say. He's still got some juice left in him as a player, but he is in his 30s. Again, we've talked a lot about them not liking guys in that part of the contract, but if you had a chance to get him, you would. I wonder, and I think it's part of the equation, you know, a guy who has been PA president bickering with ownership across the league, I wonder how that plays in a locker room. You know, is it going to be a thing of divisive, complaining about the owners? And, you know, Treader didn't practice much. Browns fans didn't really like how he never practiced. And, you know, he was kind of battling stuff, I guess, up there last year. So there's a lot to that. They obviously didn't want to keep him. So I think people see names. What cracks me up is every time someone's released, it's like, oh, they got to sign him. They just cut him. Like, if he was really good, they probably would have wanted to keep him. There means that you're talking about a player with warts and issues. That doesn't mean they're not worthwhile at all. That's not what we're talking about here, because a lot of it does have to do with money. But, you know, there's more to it than that. Another name I'd throw out there that hasn't been cut yet in the same mold is Brandon Linder in Jacksonville, who's in the last year of his deal. He's been there for 8 years, I believe, all in Jacksonville, but he's a no dead money, $9 million on the books. He's had a bunch of injuries in recent years, but when he's played, he's been arguably the best center in football. I mean, he's been incredible. They call him Gold Star Captain. He's got four years. So the full patch turns gold because they run out of room for more stars. He's like total leader, captain guy at center that when he's healthy can be the arguably the best center in the league. A name to keep an eye on. Trent Baalke was talking today and said, look, I've talked to him. We haven't quite figured it out yet. AKA, I think we know where that ends. So another name to keep an eye on when you're talking about small offensive line guys. Those are the things that you're looking at now, and you're weighing that against who is out there.
I mean, another thing, you kind of take the names out of the equation for you guys out there that are, oh, go get him, go get him. Go back to that Choose Your Adventure worksheet And it doesn't have to be the same guy, but plug in a guy, a JC Tretter, someone like that at the value that he would command. And you see, you just can't go get, as soon as someone good comes off the board, you just can't go get all these guys. It doesn't work that way. It's Jacksonville's doing it. Some teams are in the position to do it. The Bengals are not. And it will be interesting to see what if they were to do that. I still think right tackle and Collins specifically will be the main focus if they're going to do anything else on the line. It feels like 31 is the perfect spot to get an interior guy and kind of build for the future there. We'll see. Again, there's so much that can happen. There's still decent cornerbacks out there that can be your CB2. That is one area that has not gone crazy, where guys haven't – there have been a number that have been signed, but there's still a lot of value out there at cornerback, and that's the position, cornerback, tackle, and tight end, and those are the spots. And I think there's no tight ends out there either that are going to completely bankrupt you. If you were planning on paying CJ Uzomah $6-7 million, you still have that available to get a quality tight end. So it's slow, it's frustrating, I get it, but it's the well is not dry. There are options out there.
No, it's not dry, but a name like Morgan Moses goes to the Ravens for 3 years and basically $5 million per year, and you think, what are you doing? Why wouldn't that be something that you would go six on? You know, why wouldn't you be more aggressive with someone? I mean, to me, he seems like a perfect fit, you know, for what you need. He's a no donkeys, no donkey. You know, I mean, he's a super solid, reliable guy who can play right tackle for you. Why wouldn't you have more interest in them? And in that, maybe, you know, again,
Collins.
You feel like you can get Collins, maybe. I mean, and at a certain point, it ends up being – that was a very low number for Moses. I thought that we would see him higher than that. And it's the kind of thing that says, oh, man, great signing by Baltimore. And what people would be saying about the Bengals if they would have done that. And maybe it proves wrong if they end up getting, you know, someone as dynamic as Collins. But again, that's why I talk about the crossroads. Because if you don't, they're not going to be the only team after that guy. If you don't pull it off, if you go screw around, you don't offer anything in a trade because you don't want to give up a piece, maybe somebody else does, and Dallas gets something out of it, or he ends up getting released and you don't get it pulled off, then you're left hanging a little bit. But then maybe you go after some of these other names that are out there. All right, let's just take a quick break. Washington kind of named their releases today. Nothing I think to really be all that interested in, except for one. I mean, Landon Collins is a big name there, has connections to Lou Anarumo, but the Bengals aren't going to be bringing in Landon Collins to come play for a bunch of money when they already have Von Bell and Jesse Bates. Their future at the safety position would be just that, would be a draft pick who's kind of the future of the safety position. Matt Ioannidis. Is a really interesting player who would be a three technique. And if you know, we know they really wanted to pair Ogunjobi and BJ Hill back up again this year, but it was just not something they could financially do. Ioannidis might be able to. You might realize he's still young. He's still in his 20s. He was not as good last year. His sack numbers weren't great, but he still had a high pressure percentage. He actually had a higher pass rush productivity than either BJ Hill or Larry Ogunjobi, and that was in a down year. In the previous year, his last healthy year before that, he was dynamic. I mean, he was an incredible three technique inside there. You want a valuable piece in your pass rush, and that can complement BJ Hill, and that probably wouldn't cost as much as BJ Hill. Just a name to certainly keep an eye on there, because they could solidify that pass rush and spend some money on somebody like that. If you're looking at, again, what do we always look for? Mid to late 20s, still has good years. I mean, like Chidobe Awuzie, right? Had a bad year in his last year in Dallas, but they felt like they had reasons why. He had the injury. There was a lot of other BS going on with their team there. You can explain away why maybe Ioannidis might not have had as huge a year last year as maybe some others, because he's still young. He's still a a young player that can perform at the same level he did multiple years there and in 2019, not that long ago.
You know, another thing about him, you're right, he's young, he's 28, he just turned 28 in January. You know what else you like to get in a guy like that? Someone's pissed off with something to prove. Because if you're hearing the reports out of Washington that his agent said flat out, Washington lied to his face, and they are not happy at all that this release happened. So you get a guy that's got something to prove, that's still in his prime. Mm-hmm. Larry Ogunjobi didn't have that chip where he was pissed off, but he was on a 1-year prove it deal. He had something to show the league, and he did. And that could be the same situation with Ioannidis.
Yep, I totally agree. And exactly the type of signing you would expect them to make and maybe target. But again, that's all these things that can develop. Austin Hooper, tight end, was released by the Browns and is out there. A guy who's like, you know what? He played really well, and he was signed for a big contract by the Browns for a reason. And then he didn't quite have put up huge numbers. Well, how much of that's him? How much of that system? How much of that's mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield? How much, you know, and is he a better player than CJ Uzomah? Maybe, you know, as a receiver. So, and he's young too. I mean, these are guys that are out there. So when we talk about, you're not talking about a well is dry situation, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to go out there and nab 2, 3, however many more impactful players, and really feel like you checked every box you wanted to over the course of this week. But again, crossroads point, and a lot of eyes on the Collins situation, I think right now, and trying to figure all that out. So we'll see how it all unfolds. We wanted to kind of talk this out with everybody. I don't want you to feel better. I mean, it's fine if you're mad and you feel like they should be out getting everyone. It's totally get it. Like, you got they gave you a little taste. You know, you get the early taste is tough. This is the opposite side of, you know, Bengals fans always had to sit and wait and do nothing and sit there and be mad early. Now they gave you the early taste and the early hit, and now you're just sitting there and you want that buzz back, right?
Jonesing.
I just want one more hit. Give me one more hit. Give me one more hit of Leo Collins, you know, like you just want a little more juice. And so I think that's where everybody's at now. They want another taste. You can't just give them a little bit and then leave, you know. Bengals the drug dealer these days.
Duke Tobin the pusher.
That's it. All right. So we, of course, will have any emergency podcast that you need. We do anticipate at some point this week they will bring in Kappa and Karis and probably a few others and introduce them to us. BJ Hill already did that the other day. Jay, you were down there. How did that go?
It was great. He was first of all, it was great just being back in the media room, and it felt weird walking up to the podium and putting your recording device down while the player is standing there. And it was a weird feeling, but it was a good weird feeling. And BJ was, you know, you've seen he did a couple Zooms this year, and he was good, but he was kind of buttoned up, and he was relaxed and all smiles. And I mean, why not? You sign that kind of contract. But, you know, it's crazy. You think about it, in a span of 6 months, he gets dumped, essentially traded away, plays in a Super Bowl, and then signs a life changing money contract. A crazy ride for him. And you felt happy for the guy. And it was both sides. Zach talked first and how much BJ means to the Bengals. And then BJ talked about how much he wanted to be in Cincinnati. He told people he wanted to stay here. And we've heard that before from some of these guys that come here and end up re-signing, because it's such a fit. And part of it's the success, but part of it is what Zach has been saying from day one, the culture, building that culture in the locker room, and people really do enjoy playing for this team.
And we'll see who else is playing for them over the next couple of days as as the Bengals approach the little crossroads here. So emergency pods will pop off as those things go down, and we'll be letting you know as they do, and obviously follow on Twitter and keep reading The Athletic and everything we've got across the site. There's just stuff all over the place. So it's between baseball and everything going on there and the NCAA tournament and all and the NFL free agency. We've got the $1 per month deal going on right now. I mean, I the amount of content across the site is absurd right now. So if you ever thought about subscribing, now is a good time to do so. Hopefully you will. All right. We will talk to you guys next time when something is actually happening. Hopefully we don't have to do another sit on the couch edition and talk this out of Emergency Podcast, but I hope this helped. So everybody have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.